Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Andy Shea. Andy, how are we doing this week, my friend?
Whew, we're here, Jimmy. That's all I'm going to say. I made it to do this week's show. Was always in doubt, but I made it.
It was a rough week. We won't go into details, but you're a gamer, Andy. I am so glad that you are here. You know what, Andy? It's August. Do you know what that means?
That means it's football season.
You are exactly right.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's football season is here. We are going to be talking about some of our season's storylines. But, Andy, because it's football season, it's August, that means it's time to plan the trip into Happy Valley for some football. And if you're still looking for a place to stay, got some advice for you. Our good friends at GoPSURV, Andy, you've been there, I've been there. It's a great way to spend the football weekend. You go in on Friday, get to stay through Sunday. They have an RV sitting there, all hooked up, prepped, and ready for you. You just need to drive your car in. It's a fantastic setup, fully stocked up RV, got a kitchen in it, television, all of that. They've also got the pavilion with the big projection TV. They have the fires in the evenings, the fire pits, fantastic. And maybe the best part of all, Andy, is they have a shuttle to take you right into the game. You don't need football parking. They take care of that for you. It's the best setup going. If you want a little more information, go to gopsurv.com. You know what? Call them directly, 800-519-8467, and make your arrangements for football weekends. All right, Andy. It is football time. We're going to talk about some of the season storylines. Tell you what, you've had a tough week. I'll let you decide where we start. What do you want to talk about as far as Penn State football storylines?
Oh, that's a good one. There's a bunch of that we have under consideration. We will talk about wide receivers, but we're not going to start there. I think you have to start with – I want to start with Drew Aller. I think he's one of the best returning quarterbacks in the country, at least one of the top five, maybe one of the top three. Some say maybe the best returning quarterback, right? He's super talented. He's gotten better each year in sort of his game to game and what he does. He's shown more facets to his game year to year. He's been a very good quarterback for Penn State. I think that's all he needs to be is a very good quarterback for Penn State this year for them to be to go where many think this team has the potential to go. My question becomes, you know, what his shortcoming, his lone shortcoming for me is performance-wise in the biggest games. You know, he's a midget, right? Like you can't find his, generally speaking, you can't find his contribution on the field. And it has risen to a point where in the national championship semifinal, his poor performance, I mean just abjectly poor on so many levels, and I'm not just talking about the interception, that decision and that sort of throw at the end of the game that he made to sort of, you know, it was the last gasp of air for Penn State to win the football game. He was not good on many fronts that entire game. I don't know whether to expect that or not. because it's been consistent pretty much in both his years as a starter. It's the only one of the only things that you could say, you know, is a negative. Like sometimes his footwork gets sloppy, right? Like that's just that's nitpicking to me, because his footwork still is going to get sloppy sometimes because he's a human being playing quarterback. But his footwork overall was vastly improved in year one over year two. So what stands out for me is, will Penn State, the rest of the team, have to overcome their superstar quarterback being average at very, very best on the biggest stages and in the biggest games? So he's still, though, in my opinion, an NFL draftable quarterback. Possibly, you know, he has all the tools, Jimmy, to be a first-round pick. You can't argue with that. And he is one of the best quarterbacks that'll be under center in the country. And I just wonder if Penn State can overcome that. If what is his trend the first 2 years on the biggest stages for him? He struggles. He underperforms and struggles on the biggest stages. So if that continues, is this team good enough to overcome that? That's one of the big storylines for me across the entire season, Jimmy. You're not going to learn that in a week or in the first 3 weeks. So that's all I have to say about
that. Andy, there are a few things with Drew Aller, and I could probably ask the question, is the season success totally and completely on his shoulders? And I would argue, you're shaking your head, no. I think it could be, and hear me out on this. You'll see those statistics come out, you know, his performance in games they've lost versus games they won, showing that in those big games he hasn't performed well. Is he capable of doing it? I'll bring up the USC game, Andy, where we know, again, I got you shaking your head, but again, hear me out, Andy. It was, remember the narrative, how tough it was to win when you're traveling, you know, coast to coast in the Big Ten. We saw many examples of that. Penn State went into USC, got themselves down by a couple touchdowns, okay? Yep. That's what turned it into a big game. They were down multiple touchdowns at halftime, and Drew Aller performed in that second half under pressure. I mean, a loss in that game, they're in trouble as far as making the playoffs. And he performed really well under a lot of pressure, multiple fourth down plays that he made. My point being is, I do think it's in him, okay? We haven't seen it in those games in the playoffs. We haven't seen it against Ohio State. You've mentioned it also before, a big game against Oregon. That offense put up a lot of points against Oregon. They were essentially unstoppable. Yep. That one, the defense let them down. So I do think it is in him. I think he's got a tremendous high side to him. And, yeah, there's all this talent around him, Andy, which is enough. He could play poorly against 10 out of 12 teams, and they'll still win those 10 games, is my belief. But when they play Oregon and Ohio State, I think we need to see more from him than we did, you know, against Notre Dame, against Ohio State last year, Andy.
Last thing I want to say on the quarterback, and then we can move on. He will be better this year than last year. But he just works that hard, and he has that much talent. He overall, like his overall game one through however many they play, overall, when you look back, you'll be like, yeah, he got better. That will happen. The USC game, I'm battling it all. The USC game, that's a one-hit wonder in my eyes. And it was fun to watch, and he did it. Like, he was the sole reason. Like, he put that team on his back and carried him to victory in L.A. He had a chance to do it against Notre Dame. Right? That's why it's a one-hit wonder. The same scenario was in place. Not for an entire half, per se, but here it is. Can you throw this team on your back and march them down the field? You've got help around you. Can you do it? And he didn't even come close. And not only did he not come close in that situation again, he made just one of the most quarterback 101 abjectly poor decisions in a big spot that you could make, and the result was catastrophic for Penn State and its national championship aspirations for the 2024 team. That's why I say the USC loved it. One-hit wonder. You're right about the big game against Oregon. I'm with you. The entire offense was humming on all cylinders, and he played well. He played very well. I just think he's the key cog. The success of the season is not going to come down to him. I agree with you kind of, but I'll say it a different way. Success at the very highest levels will be all about him. At the very highest levels will be all about him. Next level success. Huge, big national stage games. Championship games. College football playoff games. Those will be more about him.
Andy, we're saying the exact same thing.
We are. We are. That's why I said I agree.
And in those big games, it's got to be there. And I think, Andy, for some players, they just walk onto the field and they assume they're the best player no matter what. There's an arrogance to them in a good way. I don't think he's one of those guys. I think he needs to go out, do it, feel it. As you said, he's a very hard worker. He's got to feel that improvement so that he'll walk on the field against those top teams and look around him, see all the talent that he has on his side of the ball and say, hey, I'm good enough here. I can do this. And yeah. I think, a lot of that is just confidence. And I think just the experience now, this is his third year as the full-time starter, Randy. Yeah. And I think some of that confidence will come with that. So
I agree with you.
I think it's in him.
He took more command and control of the offense last year over year one. Big step forward. Now we need the next step, and he took control of it and had control. The next step is be the alpha dog. Just be the alpha dog that you are. Talent-wise, yeah.
And Andy, as we come up to the conclusion of the first quarter, just to lead into Q2, we're going to now talk about, can they win those big games? It's Oregon and it's Ohio State, okay? That's where it's at. Those are the two big games, Andy. When we come back, we're going to talk about that storyline. Stick with us.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. We're talking about the big storylines for this Penn State football team this season. We spent the first quarter, Andy, talking about Drew Aller. And the question is going to be, is he ready to take that next step? And the next step is, what's he do in the big games? And Andy, big games are Oregon and Ohio State. That's a huge storyline. They play Oregon very early. It's their first Big Ten game of the season at home. It's the whiteout. And then later in the season, they play in Columbus at Ohio State. Andy, are they ready to take that next step against those two teams?
I think so. So it's interesting. Oregon, there's so many things in their favor. It's early in the season. Penn State's coming off a bye. Oregon's got some talent development to work out, and they've got, you know, a month to do it before this game. I think they're the favorite against Oregon. I think they win. They should win that football game. They're a strong favorite. Some think they could take Oregon out behind the woodshed. They're a strong favorite to win that football game. Ohio State's a different beast. That game's on the road, correct, in the horseshoe. They obviously don't have a very good record under James Franklin against said Buckeyes. The crazy part is, what do they have, 10 losses now against Ohio State in James's era? I'd say in at least half those games, you could argue in at least two of them, they were the better team and lost, and half of them, they were competitive enough that the game, you could say the game was 50-50 or 55-45. Could have gone either way, right? Like, they play Ohio State well. They match up against them pretty well. The talent pool, it seems, will be a little more even. This feels like the greatest opportunity Penn State has against Ohio State, right? On that front, you know, you go down, look at depth chart positions, go, Penn State might even be the better football team. That's not a crazy argument. Couldn't have said that a year ago, couldn't have said that the year before. They might even be the better football team top to bottom. So I think they can win both of these football games. They really need to win one of them. They can't really lose both of them. They can, but they shouldn't. If they're going to come anything close to the expectations of the roster they have and what, you know, what they've built as the all-in team going into 2025, to go 0-2 in those two games, that would be disappointing for Penn State and very, very much below expectations.
Andy, I talked about this a lot. I think it's critical that they win at least one out of those two games.
Agreed.
And Oregon is the one that they should win. They have everything in their leaning their way at home, whiteout, Oregon traveling, you know, across the country. First time at Beaver Stadium, whiteout conditions. That's the one. And if they win that game, they can go into Columbus. I'm not going to say it doesn't matter if they win or lose that game, but if they're in that position where they're undefeated going into Columbus, even if they lose and finish out the season 11-1, there's nothing wrong with that. They're now playing with house money when they go into Columbus. Ironically, with it perhaps not meaning nearly as much, maybe they play a little bit, you know, fast and loose and things more go their way more. Well, one last note on Drew Aller I want to make, Andy. Was I think last year we saw a little bit better athleticism from him. You know, he made some third down conversions with his legs. He's in better shape this year. He actually lost some weight, probably helps his mobility. I hope helps his confidence also in that regard, Andy, because he's not the most athletic quarterback in the world. But if he can convert one or two of those first downs in a big game, that could end up being the difference.
Willing and capable runner. He became a willing and capable runner. Yeah, maybe, you know, by the athletic, quote unquote, you know, measurables, quote unquote, not there, but more willing and able. His legs were a key component for him.
Yes, and I think it could be even more so. All right, Andy, as we are wont to do, we spent a lot of time on the first couple. Let's start hitting some of these other things.
Yeah, pick them, Jimmy. Go down. Pick them for you.
Here's this big storyline, I think, and James Franklin brought this up. Both Nick Singleton and Catron Allen are approaching Evan Royster's career rushing record at Penn State. You could have two guys playing at the same time, both pass that record.
Yeah, they're both that good, right? Like, literally, that's all you kind of, that's all you need. Yeah, they're both really that good. If that is a conversation, say going into week 8 or 9, right? Like, if you've played through sort of, you know, this media, if that's a conversation point or something that is, you know, part of the Penn State narrative as you're, hey, just for example, heading into week 9, I don't know who the heck they're playing, whatever. That's a very, very, very good thing. That means both running backs are healthy and both running backs are exactly what you think they are, and they're doing exactly what Penn State needs from them. So if that is it's really cool, but it's kind of, maybe it's a little bit of a surprise, but after last year, I'm like, yeah, that's not a surprise. They're just both that ridiculously good. If it's a conversation still, you know, say going into week 9 of the season, week 10 or whatever, very, very good thing for Penn State, because that means these two are the beasts that they are.
Yes, Andy. And now it'll take each one of them needs over 1,000 yards. Last year, they both did that. But remember, it was 16 games to do it. Could be the case again. It involves making the playoffs and those couple extra games.
But it will.
I think the point you were trying to make, Andy, is it's not so important that they accomplish that.
Correct.
Individual records, really, as a fan, I don't go crazy about that stuff.
Right.
But it's more an indicator of the success of the team. If both those guys are on that kind of track, it means you're not playing games from behind where you're throwing the ball all the time. You're running the ball, you're running the ball well, which is a good sign. So, Andy, I'm going to use that as a segue.
Oh.
We do have to talk about wide receivers, my friend. We do.
Oh.
And it's okay, a complete – they redid the room. Three yep. transfer running backs have taken over the room.
Wide
they finally get wide receivers, yep, have taken over the room, the transfers. Did they get it right this time?
No. No, they did not get it right. They can't be getting it right. This is a one-hit wonder, and this is why. Let me just explain my sort of thing. Did they get it right? Three transfer receivers. They have taken over the room. They are the three. They are it. Their success and sort of even any success or any next level success will be centered on those three almost assuredly. So they're not getting it right because they're not developing wide receivers that they at the position of their own accord. You can't go out and find three. You can go out and find them, but you can't build your wide receiver room three transfer positions at a time, year in and year out. You can't do that. That's not sustainable. So they're not getting it right because they're not developing their in-house talent at the position. And they're in this position because kind of what I equate to kind of almost like a generation of the position has not really, there has not been development of it. And it's not like the quarterbacks have been, you know, it's not like they've had crappy quarterbacks, Sean Clifford and Drew Aller. You know, Sean Clifford, a veteran Sean Clifford, and all of Drew Aller, super talented quarterback at this position. So that's why I say no, they're not getting it right because they're bereft of development at the position for the talent that they choose. There is an opportunity to change that narrative going forward. They have another young crop of wide receivers that they have recruited. Let's see how it goes. But right now, it's unsustainable. It's a one-hit wonder. You can't go get three transfers every year and expect that to be your wide receiver room. And they are not developing talent. So, no, they are not getting it right.
And I'm going to take the positive spin, Andy.
Of course you are. Let me get them out of my pocket. Here's your blue and white glasses. All right, there you go.
You know, you call it the one-hit wonder. I'd prefer to look at it as a bridge to the next generation of receivers. Is that a guarantee? No, it is not. Okay. We've seen multiple transfer wide receivers come in with mixed results at best. Okay. Mixed.
Whoa, results. That's so kind. Yes. Mixed results. Yes.
But I think they brought in three guys, each with the abilities, pass production, some of the things that you look for. Is that enough? You know, the wide receivers have not earned the benefit of the doubt, Andy. They just have not. And but it's still, you know, you can't blame these wide receivers for the sins of the past, okay? Because correct. Prior transfer portal wide receivers have not worked out great, that doesn't guarantee that these ones also will not work out. And they've got three shots at it with these three different transfer players. I think it was something they had to do. That wide receiver room was so, I'll use the word toxic. Maybe that's not fair, but they were so unsuccessful last year. They needed to turn the page.
No, I agree. It manifested itself and it came to the full bloom in the national championship semifinal when they never abjectly targeted a wide receiver in any way, shape, or form offensively the entire game for the most part. And that wasn't an accident.
Yeah. It was not a great performance for the wide receivers along with Drew Aller. All right, Andy, we're going to get back to our storylines in quarter four. The first quarter three, your questions, we ask Andy.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Rebel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Rebel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to RebelXP.com for more info.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter three. That means it's time to ask Andy. Before we get started with that, Andy, just a reminder, if you're still looking for a place to stay, game weekend in State College, check out gopsurv.com. This is where they have off campus. They have their own RV set up. You don't need an RV. You just drive your own car yourself there. RV sitting there ready, prepped, and ready for you. All weekend, get in on Friday. Don't have to leave till Sunday. They also have a shuttle to take you to and from the game. No hassle of parking, no parking space issues. It's a tremendous time. It's like tailgating the entire weekend. For more information, give them a call, 800-519-8467. All right, Andy, ready for your questions?
Always, Jimmy. We're starting to trickle into season questions.
We're getting closer. Let's start with John in Kingston. He says, there's been a lot of shows dealing with position groups from quarterback to DBs. Strongest groups, ones with the most concerns, most depth.
Yep.
I know it's the least interesting, but what about this year's special teams? Have we improved or are they a concern? At the end of the day, they could win or more likely lose you a game.
That's a good question. That's kind of funny. That's it's not something that we've you know, sort of abjectly talk about, right? Like, I think Ryan Barker became like a really comfortable, confident kicker, right? He didn't win, he wasn't the choice to start the year, but as it went through, you know, he was good. Riley Thompson's a adequate punter. Is he a standout punter? Like, does he catch your eyes like with big booming kick? No, but he seems pretty efficient and effective. There isn't much in the return game. Obviously, you could put Nick Singleton back there. They like to do that. That's fun. And I think he will probably be back there to catch the odd kickoff that doesn't go into the end zone. But, yeah, I think their special teams is good. I like the kicker. I think the kicker sort of had to become a good kicker under fire, and he wasn't the first choice and didn't win the job over the long haul. Then he was thrown into the fray as sort of like, you better do this well or we have a real problem here. And I think he was successful. I think he became like, you almost like, even through the whole course of the season, you almost kept waiting for him to sort of fail you. You know, like miss a 34-yarder or miss two of them in a game, or, you know, kick one into, you know, too low from, you know, 47 yards and have it blocked in a key moment. He never really had a letdown moment. And those sort of moments where you're like, oh, he needs to make this kick. Like in a game, you know, I'm not taking a specific game, but in those moments I recall when it was like, yeah, they could use 3 points. This is a big kick. This kid needs to make this kick. This is a good kick. This would be good 3 points for Penn State to have. I don't remember him failing, you know, like missing in those sort of those moments. Like, yeah, he missed some, but then you were like, ah, yeah, that doesn't kill him. They're fine. But in those moments where it was big, he delivered, and I think that's important, and he seems like a very confident kicker. So I love that question, John. Thank you.
He did well, Andy. They didn't get it right at the start of the year. Ron Barker came in, made the kicks he was supposed to make, including USC in overtime. And if you remember his interview afterwards, he was a very confident kid about making it.
Correct.
And Andy, I don't think, you know, John makes the point, special teams, you fear them losing a game for you as opposed to, you know, winning a game for you. Barker's not the kid who's going to kick a 58-yard field goal. No. But he makes the kicks he's supposed to make. I think Riley Thompson is a very reliable kicker. I think the only mistake he made, I remember the one time, he took too long getting a kick off because he was going into the rugby style. He kind of hesitated. That's a very correctable error. And, you know, punt returning. They do bring in Devontae Ross, who had some success at Troy there. So, all right, let's move on. Let's get to Eric in Ashburn, Virginia, who says, what is the one thing Penn State fans should be most excited about going into the season that nobody is talking about? Alternatively, what's the one thing we should be most worried about that's not getting a lot of attention? Love your work, Andy and Jim. Thanks for keeping us entertained and informed. Eric, thank you for the compliments.
Yep.
All right, Andy.
Good question. Number one, the first part, I'll take the first part first. How's that? That's like game show on me. I'll take the first part first. I'll take the first question. Begin. It's tight ends. You know, everyone's going to talk about them losing Tyler Warren. That's going to be, of course, that should be. That's what it should be. That Penn State lost Tyler Warren at the tight end position. This offense lost tight end. Yeah. I'm not underrating them. I'm not saying they're. I think the tight ends are going to shine. I think the tight ends are going to play a big role. And I think, yes, you don't replace Tyler Warren. You're not. That's not going to happen. But I think this tight end room is going to be. I think they could end up being the pleasant surprise of 2025. And I think the one that's sort of maybe on the sticky side and not getting as much attention as it should, it might be the linebacker position, I think would be maybe. I focused on the D tackles. I think they have more to work with in that room. I think the linebacker position is a little thin. They got a transfer as their third linebacker. Shoney's a capable FBS player. I know that. This is a next level kind of defense. Jim Knowles, Penn State's defense is elite, and it has been elite for a while now. So this is a very good FBS college football player. Well, when you're playing an elite defense, you need to be elite and part of that. So they have some serious depth questions at that position as well. Lost a key component in the transfer portal. So 1-2 at that position, and they're going to run, you know, the five DBs and two linebackers for the most part. We know that. Comfortable with. There is some question beyond that. So I would go linebacker as, you know, the one that to fit the narrative of Eric and Ashburn, Virginia's question. Tight ends at the first part, linebacker second part.
I'd like your linebacker answer, Andy, because I can't come up with a better answer. I'm probably a little bit more concerned about the D-line depth than you are.
Correct.
Linebackers, I think it helps that they're, you know, it's a 4-2-5 where there's only two linebacker positions that have to be filled, not correct, three. I think that helps the depth there. So, all right, let's move on. Let's get to Brad in Perkasie, who says, I'm super excited that the whiteout is at night against Oregon, but will the construction affect the whiteout experience? Will it be less noisy than normal, or will the fan excitement bring it to the next level? P.S. in future years, I'd love to be on the show asking Andy questions, but I have a newborn this year that's preventing it from this year.
Ah.
He was talking about we might be doing a fan involvement Ask Andy show yet before the season starts. Brad wants to throw his hat into the arena starting next year. A little one, Andy, could do that to you. All right. Whiteout going to be affected at all by the construction?
I don't think so. I mean, this is why. It's just nuts. It's a special environment created by the fan base. So they're just off the hook, right? They're just lit as bright as they can be lit bright. And yeah, does it help when it's full? Then they have 100 to 110,000. Yeah, that makes it quote unquote louder. But it's still going to be nuts if there's whatever it is, 50, 60, 80, 90, I don't care. 25,000. They're nuts. It'll be a difficult environment no matter what the number is.
Andy, the way they're talking about it, it's maybe a couple thousand.
Yeah, it's going to be nuts.
Down. I actually think it might even be, I don't know if the acoustics will make it louder, but I think the fan level of excitement, I think however that temporary seating is going to be set up, it may even add to it, you know, the folks in that area. So I don't think, Brad, you got to worry about the noise level. All right, I want to hurry and get in this last question and give you enough time. Tommy from Quakertown says, I've been listening to you guys for quite a while. Thank you for that.
Thanks, Tommy.
And I'm not sure where you stand on James Franklin. I'd like to get the take from each of you.
So I'm a fan. I think he's a horse for the course. Like, I think he fits Penn State. I think he wants to be here. I think he's built something. I think he's outstanding as a CEO, even as the game has transitioned. I think he creates relationships with players and families that he brings in. You know, their players and their families. He creates relationships at sort of a unique next level. I think he has an understanding of who he wants around him as coaches, and he's also been able to adjust and think outside the box. Manny Diaz was outside the box. That was a great adjustment. I think he's grasped so much tighter and harder as he's been there longer, a full decade now, onto sort of that Penn State thing that makes them unique. You know about that. He's hiring sort of former players who are obviously pretty darn good coaches, right, to be part of his staff. That sort of ups everything. His shortcoming, right now, at this moment, I've never seen his shortcoming, which is the 3.5 to 4 hours on Saturday. I've never seen him better at that part of his job than he is right now going into 2025. And that isn't a one-game wonder. That's basically the last half to, you know, 40% or half of the last season and then into the playoffs. And the way he's coaching right now, I don't think he's ever been better. So, he's just simply a good human being. That matters. So that's my take.
You know, Andy, and I knew you were going to do this.
I ran you out of time.
You ran me out of time.
Yeah, well, you know, quarter four, you can take it and we'll carry over.
And that's exactly what's going to happen, Andy. Tommy specifically said he'd like to get the take from each one of us.
Okay? It's Ask Andy.
Yeah, I should have known that you're going to throw that at me. All right, Andy, we'll get my response when we come back for quarter four. Stay tuned.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy, I'm Jim. It's the fourth quarter of our show. And Andy, as could have been predicted, there were several minutes left in our segment three when we got the question from Tommy about our take on James Franklin, and Andy essentially ran out the clock on me. So I'm going to give my response, and I'm going to say, and I know, Andy, you may not have meant it this way, but one of the things that I don't like in a lot of people's evaluation of James Franklin is he's a good CEO, okay? And what I don't like about it is it's often used essentially as code for, well, he's not a good X's and O's coach. He's not good on game day. He's not good during the game, but he's good at his organizational skills. Well, first of all, this is a billion-dollar business is college football. So having CEO skills actually is a very good thing, number one.
I agree.
But number two, I don't think James Franklin is given enough credit for what he's put together here at Penn State under very difficult circumstances when he first got here. And he's now built this program where it's considered one of the – and I know this is a bad word to use here talking about the Penn State program – but it is one of the elite programs in the country. There's only a handful of teams, and I'll name Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, that I would say Penn State has not reached their level yet, okay? They have not. That's pretty darn good, okay? I'm not sure who else could have got him here. Like I said, I'm very much pro James Franklin. With that said, though, doesn't mean he's perfect, correct. Okay? And there are some things that I don't like about him. And, you know, that's a conversation for another day, Andy. But I think, and to segue it into our season storyline, I think just like we were talking about Drew Aller earlier, and I think James Franklin is tied at the hip with Drew Aller, the two of them have to win a big game. They have to beat either Oregon and or Ohio State there this year. It is so critical to them for their reputation going forward. All right, Andy, let's get into some of our other conversation. We talked mostly season storylines. We were doing the offense. Let's hit the defense. Storyline, the Jim Knowles effect. Yeah. This is the third defensive coordinator in the last 3 years. Defense has traditionally been very good. Tell me about the Jim Knowles effect.
So he's the best at his job in the country, and that's been proven over a good time period. He coached the defense for the defending national champions a year ago. Strong argument is the case that they won a national championship over the long haul because their defense was the best in the country. So the Jim Knowles effect is, can he do more with just a little less than Tom Allen had a year ago? That's step one out of the gate. It doesn't have to be a whole lot more, right? Like, I'm not talking measurably better. I'm just saying, can it be a little better than a year ago with less? Because while he has pieces and stars at, you know, pretty much every level for the most part, overall talent-wise, he might be working with just a little bit less. Can him and the assistant coaches on that staff and him as the coordinator make this defense next level, possibly elite, while doing it with a little more? Can he show that in year one? I'm not saying they have to be the best defense in the country. I'm not even saying they have to be a top three defense in the country. Can they be a top five, top 10? You know, can they be fifth, ninth, seventh, you know, whatever. Top 10 defense in the country, can he do that? Is that what he brings to the table? Because he has a wee bit less known talent while having superstars at every level. Can he do that? That's all. That's my effect for him looking at year one in this football team. And he's right back in the mixer. In other words, the all-in sort of high expectations. This is old hat for him. He'd been there at Ohio State. That's exactly what this Ohio State was a year ago. So he's been there, done that, and knows what it takes. That's undervalued at times, I think, and that's going to be important.
Yeah, I think, Andy, so many good things with the guy, the experience, the Big Ten experience, the national championship experience, the playoff experience. We've seen him firsthand shut down Penn State's offense. I think even he's got a great scouting report on the Penn State offense, so he'll even help in those ways. I think the only question will be, this team has three essentially scrimmages before they dive in against an Oregon. Will he have the defense totally and completely up to speed by that Oregon game? I think he will.
Fair point.
But it's at least a question. All right, Andy, let's stay on the defensive side. You alluded to it. There's a superstar at every level.
Kind of, yeah.
Maybe not at linebacker, but
correct.
Zane Durant, Denai Dennis Sutton, A.J. Harris, Akee Wheatley, most every place. But the question is, how about the rest of the defense, Andy? Are there other players on that defense that need to step up?
Oh, that's a really good question. So for me, the one player, because he has such a high ceiling and it's at the linebacker, I think Tony Rojas can be a star, right? Like, there's all kinds of elements that just scream, this kid has next level star power. And, you know, we beat the horse and, you know, let it be known that, you know, there is a consistency issue there. He hangs his teammates out to dry at times with some, you know, semi-selfish sort of, you know, not doing what he needs to do, play in and play out. He leaves some of his mates out to dry occasionally, trying to make that splashy impact play. He's got all the tools to be a next-level superstar. He evolves into that. That's the guy on defense that I think sort of holds the turnkey to pulling it all together for Penn State, not as a defense, but as them sort of being elite at every single level. And that's that. And it, plus he adds to that sort of strength up the middle with Durant and Wheatley. You know what I mean? Like, strength up the middle at all three levels is a difference maker, right? Like, that's a difference maker. We know that. Even in the modern game, it's become even more true. The pressure at the off the edges is exciting and fun to watch, but it's being able to control a football game down the middle of a defense that actually makes all the difference in the world. So he's got it all there. It's there. You can see it. You know it. Can it be that way, you know, game in and game out? That will, if he becomes more consistent, he will become closer to elite than very good. And you'll see it develop and blossom. He's that guy. That's the one for me, Jimmy.
And Andy, the good thing is all of the mistakes that he makes are correctable. There's no physical limitations to him. I also think, you know, now with that extra year of experience, and the same thing with Dom DeLuca, who's been around forever now, you've got two guys at linebacker who are so experienced that they shouldn't be making mistakes the way a younger player might. All right, Andy, I'm going to bounce back to the offense because sure. I don't think any preview of this year or season storyline could go on without talking about the offensive line, Andy.
Never.
And, you know,
in my opinion,
there's the conversation about the right tackle competition, but the overall story on this offensive line, they're good, they're deep.
They're very good. They're very deep. They're experienced. They're confident. They're comfortable. They simply became game over game, especially the second half of the season. They just developed into that offensive line. By the time Penn State hit the playoffs, and even through the in the Big Ten championship game, they were outstanding in the Big Ten championship game. That offense was humming on all levels. But particularly through the college football playoffs, they became dominant, right? They were a dominant offensive line. And that's the expectation where they start and leave off. They are a dominant, elite offensive line. I've been poking my nose around offensive lines in the country. I think they're a little undersold, just a wee bit. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, why are there five teams ahead of them that have better quote unquote offensive lines? I'm like, give me a break, child, please. The offensive tackle, the battle at offensive tackle is a ridiculous abundance of riches. You've got Nolan Rucci, a kid who was forced into opportunity, lost the battle for the job a year ago, and just shined like a bright star. Anthony Duncan, the guy who's coming back from injury, he was their best offensive lineman until he got hurt. That's just stupid, but that's Penn State's problem. Not problem. That's their blessing right now, as they've got two super stud tackles. I think Rucci's got to be your guy going in because Anthony's coming off an injury, but they're elite, Jimmy. They are dominant and they are elite. There's no other way to put it. That's pretty simple for me.
And Andy, those national publications, I saw one where they gave a top 10 offensive line and didn't list Penn State's.
Yeah.
And then they said honorable mention, you know, like they were 11th. Andy, you know, I think that's silly. It's ridiculous. When I started the question for you, I said they're good and they're deep. What I missed is that they're also experienced.
Correct.
And how important is that? And now you've got them. A year ago, it was a new offensive coordinator. Now it's an experienced offensive coordinator with this team, with this quarterback, with that pair of running backs, with this group at offensive line. And I think the best sign, and you talked about it, is how well they were playing at the end of the season is the best indicator coming into this season, because it's that same group coming back, Andy, that got better as the season wore on last year. And I see no reason why they can't pick it up from the same place. All right, Andy, that's going to be it. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.